Well, right now it's time to bring in our good friends from theberkshireedge.com. Of course, you can find them at theberkshireedge.com, but you can find them here on Robin Hood Radio twice a week. That's right, live on a Wednesday morning at about 8:35, and then we rebroadcast it on Sunday evening, that comes up. I forget what time it is, but I guess I should know. But anyways, we do it on Sunday evenings as well. Let me find it here so I can do this. I got to do this the correct way. At 6 o'clock. And the reason we added the show is we had some requests from people in South County that don't stream. They don't do anything like that. And they wanted to know what time when they were up here we could put it on. So we put it on. So we say good morning and happy holidays to the entire Berkshire, well, probably 90% of the Berkshire.
Good morning. Yeah. And this is us live.
It is you live here on the radio.
Live on the radio.
Well, right. We're supposedly alive.
Yeah, that's right.
We are not morning people because we stay up so late. So we're not always sure that we're alive when we speak to you. So
you know,
we do our best.
Before I started doing morning shows, which is a long time ago, I used to be on the midnight shift, so I was anything but a morning person. But now that I'm a morning person, you just can't get off that. So, but I know what it's like when you're not a morning person and you have to get up early in the morning.
I know, and people would not think that this is early. After all, 8:30 is not. It's not the crack of dawn, but
still, when you're used to working,
when we finally turn off the light at 2:30 in the morning, 8:30
comes over quick. Yeah. well, let us go to the stories here.
All in the service of delivering the news.
That's exactly right. We have your first story, and it's a story that's all over the nation, and that is the spike in COVID-19 cases. The governor did issue a couple of orders.
Governor Baker of Massachusetts has issued a mask advisory and is directing all hospitals in the state to postpone or cancel non-essential elective procedures. And the other thing is that he will activate up to 500 National Guard personnel to help healthcare facilities in need. So this is being taken very seriously. It's so depressing. I've spoken to a number of friends whose holiday plans are up in the air, as are ours. We thought we were done with this, and suddenly, we are... we're back in the soup.
Yeah, it's not done with us.
No, it's not.
No, it's one of those things. I had a doctor on the other day. It's going to be. He compares it back to take the plague out of the whole motion here.
Yeah.
Okay, certain take certain viruses and diseases out of the motion. But when a new thing like this happens, he said, just imagine back when the common cold first hit. That the human body or the apes or whoever it was, their bodies weren't used to it. And yes, there was a lot of death. There was a lot of, but eventually we came up with not a perfect solution, but eventually
we got used to it.
We got used to it. And same with the flu. Now, with the flu, it's always a guess whether the flu shot's going to work or not because it's based on the previous year's flu. And I think most medical people are thinking that in the long run, this virus, in one form or another, because COVID-19 has been around for a long time, is going to be with us, and we're going to have to adapt to it like we did with the common cold and like we did with the flu, safely adapt to it to keep people who are prone safe and to keep ourselves safe. It's just one of those things that obviously is not a short-term proposition.
No, it's not, and it will continue to mutate.
Yeah.
So we'll get through this Omicron, and then there'll be the next one.
Well, that's what he said. He said this virus is not going to die, because if it gets so bad where it kills all the sources where it can live, it dies, and most viruses don't want that to happen. They want to mutate so they can keep going on. It's a depressing scientific theory that is actually true, but Yeah, we all have to begin to look at that. We keep ourselves safe, and we keep other people safe. Like now, you're told people, you know, when you have the flu, don't come into the office. If you have a cold, don't go near somebody who you can give the cold to. So,
right.
You know, and I think all the governors and everybody's, they're doing the best they can right now to get people through this, and eventually settle down.
Maybe in our state,
yeah.
But
not
I don't
states,
think the governors
yeah.
across the country are doing the best they can to get people through this.
I yeah, not not in all states.
Ignorance.
Yep. Nope. Not in all states. You're absolutely right.
You know, and even in our states, you know, the numbers are going up, and you know, we are all our governors are doing what they can in Connecticut, New York, and Massachusetts. But this is kind of daunting.
It is daunting, and they're doing everything they can to people who are risk safer. And
yes.
At this point, that's about all they can do is, you know, recommend people get shots, recommend get people get boosters, put a mask on if you're around people, and you know, just try to keep the people who are immune compromised for lots of different reasons and elderly, you know, just think about them. And I think our three states, even though we have us on the rise, I think the governors are all focused in on that. And that's the most you can ask of them right now, I think.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It is.
Yes,
and
they're not denying this virus.
And we appreciate what
virus.
They're doing.
Yep. That's the whole thing. It's just, you know, it's the old thing, between a rock and a hard place, and that's exactly
right.
Where we are. But, you know, continuing on with the story, the Berkshire Hills Regional School Committee decided against their COVID-19 vaccine mandate.
Yeah. It's sort of surprising, but you know, the students have had, these are formative years, and these are experiences that kids have once in a lifetime. And I think the school board really felt that they didn't want to require kids to wear masks, although they did vote, the school board or the school committee did vote unanimously to recommend that all students, employees involved in extracurricular activities be tested regularly.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, the president is recommending that they're going to make available 500 million test kits that you can have in your home. For people, I've got friends that are going to parties. They are going to go to parties this year, but they are also bringing a mask if they're asked to wear a mask, and they are also testing themselves before they go. You know what? That's the right thing to do.
We are supposed to have people here for, you know, for Christmas dinner, and we can't get tests.
Yeah. Yeah. Not yet.
You know?
Yeah.
No, and so, you know, we just had two people drop out last night because, you know, they're concerned. They have grandchildren who they're going to see the next day, and they, you know, and they're worried because we can't test ourselves. Otherwise, I mean, I think what's going to be standard from now on is that you just buy a bunch of kits.
Yeah.
And every time you're going someplace, it's a 15-minute test. We went to CVS yesterday. They are completely sold out, and both in stores and online.
It's one of those things where the tests themselves are not perfect. They're darn.
They're not perfect.
They're good. But at least
there are some false positives also.
But they give you a feeling you're doing the right thing, and I think that's more important than anything else. That really is.
Well, it shows that you're being considerate of your, you know, your friends and, companions.
Absolutely.
That, you know, you're trying to make sure that you're not bringing something into a social setting.
Yeah. I like it.
And they're 90-something percent correct if you can get them.
Yeah.
But again,
Good luck. That's right.
Yes, exactly.
Now we can actually bring some, I think, potentially good news, and that is you have some people that are getting together, a possibility of restoring rail service from the Berkshires, not only across the state, but down to the New York area via the Housatonic Railroad line from Pittsfield through Canaan. Of course, we know that is the old New Haven line.
Yeah.
It is the old New Haven light.
Yeah.
Now, David, this is you're getting into David's special territory.
Well,
David knows
I just,
all the trains and where they went.
Yeah, I've been a train fan for my whole life. When my grandfather used to take me down to the rail station I had an uncle who took me down to the train station in Chicago, in a suburb of Chicago, and to watch the passage of what was called the 400, which was a train that went from Chicago to Minneapolis, and it would come by through the station at about 100 miles an hour.
Mm.
It was a really thrilling sight for a little kid. So I've been a train fan for a long time, and the idea of restoring passenger service up through the Housatonic Railroad through Canaan and up to Pittsfield would be a wonderful thing for public transportation, I think.
And and all the studies seem to indicate that as well. I mean, there was, what is the man's name? Steve Shepard. He's a professor at Williams, and 10 years ago he did a study that that showed that this would be economically not only viable but very beneficial.
Yeah, to the whole region.
To the whole region have train traffic to New York. I mean. It's not just from the Berkshires to New York. It's from the Berkshires through Connecticut to New York. So we would all have better service.
We'd go down. Yeah,
matter which direction you wanted to go.
You would go south in Connecticut to Danbury, and then Danbury, you would get the connecting to New York City. It's when I was a very young kid, my father was an entertainer, and we didn't have to drive him into the city. He would go to West Cornwall, and he would get on a darn train, and he would go to the city.
Yeah. And now, we go to Wissahick.
Yeah.
We take the train, the Metro North train. But I must say, it is inadequate. I mean, every time I have to go, I'm searching my emails for an announcement from Metro North that the train isn't working, and it's that shuttle between Wissahick and Southeast. Goes right through, where we and all of your local Connecticut listeners would end up going.
Yeah.
And that shuttle is very unreliable and very old. It breaks down or it doesn't show up, and the tracks are in bad shape. So I think that, there's a woman named Karen Christensen in Great Barrington who has been running this organization called the Train Campaign, and she works with people in Connecticut as well. It's not only to benefit southwestern New York, but also northwestern Connecticut. And she's hoping that this infrastructure bill will bring money for trains.
Yeah.
Apparently, several years ago, Governor Deval Patrick did set aside money for the Massachusetts side, but Connecticut did not.
Well, it was dependent on
Connecticut
coming up with its share too.
Yes, right.
To bring the Housatonic Railroad, the old New Haven line, up to passenger travel standards.
Right.
Because you can't have the passenger train derailing.
Right.
But.
And and she's also talking about even the great advantages if the train were just within the Berkshires. She said, just think that people from Canaan, Connecticut, or Sheffield could come to Great Barrington or to Tanglewood by train. There's potential for people in Pittsfield to commute to South County for jobs and vice versa.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up in New Haven on the New Haven Railroad, and I know that there are still people who go from New Haven to Guilford or New Haven to Milford, in the morning for work, or New Haven to Bridgeport. They get on the train, and they're not polluting, they're not stuck in traffic. it's a great advantage, right?
Well, that's the next step. The next step for the Wasaic line, and then it is in the works is to electrify it all the way up to where it goes through in Armenia. That is the next step that they're going to do. And once they do that, the reliability of the service will improve dramatically.
They won't have to change engines.
That'll improve that. Let's move on from the trains and cycle our way, to the next story. We go back to the hamlet of Housatonic. Some people bringing cheer to the village.
Yes. It's a very dark little village most times. I mean, there is barely any commercial activity in the evening there, and actually very few storefronts. So a couple of people in Housatonic are spearheading a program to light up the streets, and they've strung lights all over downtown, all over the center. You can hardly say downtown, but all over the center of Housatonic, and they have done it in honor of a wonderful woman, fairly young, who died of breast cancer in February, named Deb Kaufman, who had a shop, art gallery, right in the for two decades, right in the center of Housatonic, and she also wrote for The Edge too. She drew wonderful drawings and cartoons for The Edge, so we miss her too. But so they have. Man, this is really a wonderful Christmas story, or a wonderful end of the year story. That in the dark days of the shortest days of the week of the year, that they've lit up their town, and they've done it in honor of a dear friend and neighbor who's gone.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it feels some comfort that yesterday was the shortest day of the year, and now we inch our way forward.
That's right. It's all uphill from now.
I tell you, once I get past December 21st, I begin to feel better.
But actually, days continue to don't they? They don't continue. They don't. There's a pause actually where they.
Is that right?
Lengthen the days until
it's not really a pause, but it's minuscule until it starts building about a month into it, and then all of a sudden it's not minuscule, but still it's a day that can make you feel good, kind of like Christmas.
it can.
Now this
we haven't seen it ourselves. We have to go up there one evening and see the lights. But it's very nice, and Housatonic is kind of a special place. Yeah. And they have their, even though it's a hamlet within the town of Great Barrington, it does have its own identity and it has its own community there, it's very nice. I mean, it's to see that this is evidence sort of the special spirit in the town of Housatonic, or the hamlet of village of Housatonic, I guess.
All right.
Hamlet of Housatonic.
Your final story is a good news story as well. Mm-hmm. The Cove at auction was bid on and won. And now that means, from what we see in the Berkshire Edge at theberkshireedge.com, that the Cove bowling lanes will have new life and obviously some revamping and some additional things in that huge, huge building.
Yeah, this is one of the few places for young people in Great Barrington, and it's been very popular. I mean, it's I think the heyday of bowling is long past, when there were so many active bowling leagues and it's still a place that's very popular for young people in the Berkshires, and the people who bought it several years ago really couldn't afford to maintain it well. And now it seems if somebody has bought the building, and we assumed that was going to be the end of the bowling alleys, but it seems now that the man who's bought the building is having the owners of the business continue inside the building, so that Cove, so that the Cove bowling business will you know, is not closing down.
Yeah.
And in fact, the building will be refurbished, and it may be better than before. One can always hope.
Well, that is a nice story to end on this,
yes.
What I call Christmas Eve Eve.
I took my kids there.
Yeah,
bowling,
right. And,
when they were very little. And
my nephew, I used to take my nephews there.
I used to rent those.
Eva sent us an email to me and her sons. Remember that their grandfather, our father, used to take them bowling there, and it's been saved. So they have wonderful. They have memories. We all have memories.
I used to rent those stinky bowling shoes and go bowling when I was a kid. Yep,
yeah,
absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, those bowling shoes.
They
that's
were,
right.
Right.
All right. Well, I want to wish you guys a happy holiday and a Merry Christmas, because the next time we speak, we'll be wishing you a Happy New Year.
Yes,
yeah, that's right.
Right. Yes, very Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, and in anticipation of a Happy New Year.
Yes.
All right, guys.
As well.
We will speak to you next week. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank
Marshall.
You. And to your audience as
all right.
well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That is the Berkshire Edge on air. The BerkshireEdge.com is the location on the web.